thinking big thoughts. So you don't have
to. We're going
to
start with one.
Here's John Williams.
Today, which should make it different than most days. Hi, it's John. How about that on a weekend, too, that some folks are already taking off? It's 109. We're in the Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue. We appreciate you tuning in and calling or texting along the way. The number's 312-981. 7200, we're 720 WGN. That's 312-981-7200 WGN along the way. If you want to be part of the conversation, we sure hope that you do. Was that my phone that just went blink?
What's it say? Who contacted you?
Now, let me see.
Was it good?
Was it Violetta? Violetta and I have been trading notes, as, of course, has Elif and I. Have Elif and I, because we are all trying to buy the commemorative coins.
I'm two steps closer.
Girl, I now own two of them.
You didn't.
The wheel was spinning forever and ever and ever. You couldn't get in at the WhiteHouseGiftShop.com. And then you have to, like, click on commemorative coins. And then the wheel spins for, like, 10 minutes. The site is totally frozen because the world wants the commemorative summit coins between the United States and North Korea.
That's kind of a stretch. We don't know if that's why this website is slow.
Oh, I'll bet it's not the calendars or the Christmas cards from the Trumps last November. Oh, I think this is why that thing is frozen out, girl.
But does everyone really want them, or are they maybe slowing it down to make it seem like everyone wants it?
I think there's two kinds of people. Those that want it because they're champions of the administration and are hopeful for the event. And then there's those that are buying it to mock the event. Like, hey, look at this. I got one of those coins. Remember the thing that blew up? I got the coin.
That's 95%. It's got
to
be.
And blow up is not the right good word to use.
That's right. Of all the ways to describe a summit about nukes, don't call it "you blew up the internet." So I thought, oh, I'm never going to get through. And then you know how sometimes you'll click and then nothing happens, so then you click again and then you go, oh, wait a minute,
and then 10 screens show up with the same
I know
thing.
So I thought, now have I bought four coins or two coins?
I know. I just kept saying add to cart. I'm like, I'm going to have 100 of these in the cart.
That's what I did. And I ended up having four coins when finally my cart displayed. And so then I thought, oh, crap, I don't want four coins. So I'm going to edit my cart. But then I thought, this is going to kick me out. I should probably buy the four coins rather than risk. This is like trying to get Paul McCartney tickets. This is like Super Bowl tickets or NCAA tournament tickets. What's a ticket that you want to get in and everybody jumps onto the internet?
Right, but in all of those events, something's happening.
In this case, it's a coin that commemorates the summit that didn't happen now, which is in its own self kind of memorable.
Although it still could.
Absolutely, and I hope that it does, and I hope that nuclear weapons are fewer as a result in the world. So I don't.
But hopefully,
know.
We get another coin out of it if it does happen again.
No,
take two.
No. I bought the coin. I'm out $54, Brenda. It's funny because the coins were originally $24.95, which to me, world peace, that seems to be a fair price to pay. So I thought, I'm in for $50. But then they lowered the price, what with the event not happening at all, to $19.95. Hello, I can get two coins commemorating an event that never happened for $40 instead of
$50. That's a steal.
I'm not stupid. I'm in for two. So I buy the two coins, and then I have to select shipping. And I thought, well, this is an interesting question because I know the president does and doesn't like some shipping vendors over others. But I just selected USPS and they said they're going to send me my coins in the mail.
If you spend $150, it's free shipping. So
I
you should buy more coins.
I got him this. Here's what I almost did. I thought, I'll buy 10 coins. I've got $200. But then I need to find nine other people that want them. And I don't know if they do. Like if somebody really... If I really had something exceptional, like Billy Joel tickets, and they go, oh, man, you got Billy Joel tickets, they would take them and they would be happy about it. Would I have the same cachet if I had commemorative summit coins? I don't know. So I just went with the two. I edited my purchase from four to two. It reloaded. And then I got the congratulatory email that said, your purchase has gone through. Your coins will be on the way.
So you give your wife a little black velvet box.
Yeah.
And she's getting excited to open it. She thinks maybe a nice pair of diamond earrings.
Yes.
Maybe a necklace.
Right.
A nice bracelet. And then?
She opens it up and I say, boy, have I got good news. A, we've saved a lot of money because diamond stuff that Violetta was describing would have cost us a lot more. And B, anybody can get a diamond earring. This is a commemorative coin that honors the North Korea-U.S. nuclear talk summit in Singapore that never happened. Well, that's not something that you can get every day. We reached out to the WhiteHouseGiftShop.com to see if they could talk to us about the items that are for sale, what the demand's been like. And why did they lower the price? Think about this for just a second. Leave it to a government entity to be upside down on something like this. If everybody wants something, what should happen to the price? Anyone? Anyone? If there's high demand, what should happen to the price? This is Economics 101, I believe.
Gas prices, for instance.
Violetta, what happens if everybody's trying to buy the same commodity?
It goes up.
The price goes up. What did they do? The price went down. So they attributed that to the crash of people that were trying to get the coins. But I think it was because of the novelty of it all. Plus, by the way, they're beautiful coins. So instead of charging $24.95, if they had said, guess what? The summit didn't happen. Now they're $34.95. I might have bought three. Instead, I'm at two at $19.95. So when those arrive, and maybe I should say if those ever arrive, I'm going to have, I think, something worth more than $19.95. I'm not much of an investor. I don't always know the, you know, should I get in this commodity or product or thing or not, but I think I've made a smart buy.
Did you pay for delivery or do you have to go to Singapore to get them?
No, they're shipping them to me, USPS.
But now I have an account with the White House gift shop.
Wouldn't it be great if Amazon delivered them?
I know. Well, that was the thing. When they had the drop down, you must, because the first time I checked out, it wouldn't let me. It said you must select a delivery method. And I thought, really? Okay. So I selected USPS, $13. They're going to be here in a few days or whatever. So hopefully they'll arrive in the mail. And then I'm going to bring them to work the same way Judy Pilak walked in with her son's Cubs World Series ring. And everybody's going to go, ooh, can I touch it? Ooh, you really got something there, Johnny boy. That's what they're going to say. Incidentally, I believe I just now made Nick DiGilio's a segment where he takes things out of context and plays them back on the radio.
You might have.
You know that the normal high temperature for today is 73 degrees. The forecast high for this weekend is 93.
Woohoo!
The record high temperature for today's date is 93. Meanwhile, last Sunday, the high temperature was 52. A climate scientist once told me this about global warming and climate change. She said, think of the weather as one of those dice that you would roll in a board game. Of the six sides, one through six, one says below average, four say average, and one of the faces of the die says above average. One below, four average, one above average. When you roll the die, you're likely to get a normal day. But sometimes you'll get well below and sometimes well above the normal high temperature. This goes for volatile weather, too. Usually it's not storming. You'll get one of those middle 4 days. With climate change, the faces of the die change. So that instead of one, four average, and one, maybe the die are now one, three, two, or two, two, two. That is, 2 days will be below normal now. 2 days will be normal, and two will be above the historic norm. And this is where weather meets climate, she said. You can't point to an especially warm or cold day and say, aha, climate change. But as you continue to roll the die, you see patterns. Warmer days come up more often. Days with more weather extremes and more drastic changes in the weather from one day to the next. 5 days ago, the high temperature was 52. This weekend, it will be 40 degrees warmer than that. A full 20 degrees warmer than normal. Can't help but notice that. Mary Schmeek had a very funny poem in today's Chicago Tribune. One last note about the commemorative coin. Mary Schmeek's poem, and all she wrote was a poem in today's Chicago Tribune, began this way. Dearest, dearest Chairman Kim, I'm writing you this letter to say I'm breaking up with you. I'd hoped for so much better. I had a dream, a giant dream, tremendous, Mamma Mia, that you and I would make a deal regarding North Korea. All I asked was lose your nukes. Our deal would be real swell. In trade, I'd give a thing or two, then win me a Nobel. I've even made a summit coin, a souvenir with class. I granted you the name Supreme. I flattered your fat. Mary Schmeek used a bad word in the Chicago Tribune today.
Not our Mary.
I know. I wrote her a note and said, Mary, Pulitzer, Smulitzer. Julia Sweeney is on the phone. Hey, Julia, it's John Williams. You're on WGN. How are you?
Hello. I'm so happy to be here.
I hope you remember me. We did my radio show from the Museum of Broadcast Communications.
Of course I remember you.
At the SNL exhibit, and you were so kind to come over. You've been interviewed a million times. You're a big-time star. There I was, this little guy doing a show, and you were so great on the radio with us.
Thank you. I'll be sure to be much less great today so that it won't compare to our past.
Right. Don't ruin that moment by being nice to me now.
Exactly.
Julia Sweeney was, when she was on with us, just prepping her older and wider show. And
Yes. Nobody
had seen it yet. And now you've had a run here in town, and it's wrapping up very soon, next week. Right, Julia?
Yeah, I actually was going to check before I went on the air. I think it's sold out, but I'm hoping to book. It's been just fantastic. It's been way more successful than I ever imagined. It's been a complete joy.
Look at this. Chris Jones, 3.5 stars in the Chicago Tribune. I talked to Michael Phillips. We were just chatting the other day, and he told me he had seen your show, and he just thought it was so good. And there you were, not even sure about it when we were talking last time.
Well, you never know before you do a show if it's going to take or not. You know, I mean, it's just, there's just so many variables. I mean, there's no way I could ever feel like this is going to be great or anything like that. So I don't know. Yeah, but this one has turned out to be very popular.
How about it? It's running at Second City, and it's supposed to end on the 30th of May, if you can still get tickets. Any chance you will extend it, or they will give you more time at that stage?
I can't extend it there because first of all, I'm moving back to L.A. Well, I'm really moving halftime back to L.A. starting June 9th, and they have other things scheduled. But I definitely will be coming back to Chicago to do it. I don't know where yet. I'm trying to figure that out. But because the response was so much bigger than I expected, I didn't expect for it to be so popular. And now I'm trying to figure out how to... I'll probably come back in, like, September, October and do it again,
Julia,
but I don't know where yet.
You could do it at John's house.
Yeah, no kidding.
All right. Sounds good.
So tickets will be $37.50, and tip your bartender. That would be me. if you're not up to speed on what we're talking about, of course, you remember Julia Sweeney as Pat from Saturday Night Live.
First of all, I need some protection.
Oh, dear God. Okay. All right.
From underarm wetness. I'm never one to offend. And I need some feminine napkins.
Oh, I'm in hell now.
You never know when Aunt Wilma's going to stop by for lunch.
It was a series like that where you're always trying to guess the gender of this androgynous character. And just when you thought, okay, I know it's a male or a female, the language in the next sentence would change and suddenly you're not sure. So
that
was, for a lot of us, sort of the introduction to you. What is the thrust of this stage show that you're doing now?
I would say my aim was for it to be complete stand-up. And, you know, stand-up usually has very disconnected observations, you know, throughout like an hour of a lot of laughs. I would say what I ended up with was really half stand-up, half comedic monologue, because I would say the first 40 minutes of the show is these sort of disconnected observations. But then I just couldn't help myself. I turned it into a monologue. So it, but it's still a lot of laughs. I mean, my main aim was for it to be a lot of laughs. And it's really about coming to the Chicago area when I got married about 10, well, I got married 10 years ago. And we moved out here to be with Michael, my husband, who has a business in Evanston. And just being kind of an at-home mom, everything that goes with that. And then kind of finishing the job and then thinking about what's next. And that's sort of the arc of it.
Yeah. Well, I don't mean to put words in your mouth, but the way you were describing it to us last time, it sounded like it was going to be a little bit of a reckoning for you with coming to great fame and then falling off the fame circuit. And then what's the next chapter?
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely a big part of it. When I moved here to Wilmette, my daughter was starting third grade, and I didn't really mention my old life to her. I mean, she knew I was an actress, but I didn't really, you know, bring it up. And we're not very pop culture oriented in our house, so there was really no reason to ever bring it up. And then when she was in seventh grade, she realized that I was kind of famous a little bit. And then she found out that I had played Pat. And that's also part of the show, of her kind of realizing that she has a somewhat embarrassing mom, I would say.
Well, you know, last time you were with us once again, you mentioned that Pat was based on someone you knew, more or less, and that person had never really figured it out. Has that changed since we spoke?
No, that will never change. This person will never know.
Well, is this person dead?
No. That's a good guess, though. Well, first of all, it's kind of not fair because even though this person was the inspiration, it's almost like Pat took on a life of Pat's own, you know, like, it was the initial instinct, but it didn't become exactly who Pat became. So,
I can't imagine
this person would ever.
If I came up to Pat and said, hey, you know, that's you, he would go, nah, not so much. He wouldn't be tortured by that fact because it's not really him. Fair enough.
No, in fact, I did run into this guy about a year ago. I had a nice chat, me thinking the whole time, wow, you don't realize that you're Pat. And then he was actually very friendly, you know, catching me up on his life. Yeah. And I thought, well, you're very masculine. Like, he's not a questionable gender. It was really the other qualities of Pat, the kind of intrusiveness and the insistence on having, you know, like being in your life and not standing too close. It was all those things that was the beginning of doing Pat. And then when I started doing it, I realized that I couldn't really impersonate a guy that well. And so I kind of came up with a joke about not knowing Pat's gender to kind of make up for my lack of acting ability. And then that became the funny thing. So
who knew? So that was sort of just a mechanism, and now it became the bit. Older and Wider is the hilarious name of the show. It's at Second City.
Yeah.
Go to secondcity.com and beg them for tickets to see Julia Sweeney before she leaves town. Nice going, Julia. It was nice to meet you, and you've been very generous with your time and humor with us. And I hope you come back to town and continue the show, do something else, and visit with us in our studio.
I absolutely will. Actually, my husband's going to be here for 2 more years, so we're going to be going back and forth. So I'll be back a lot.
All right. Well, we'll stay in touch, and you can do the show at my house.
Okay, good. That sounds great.
Julia Sweeney at Second City. This is John Williams. By the way, we're going to start doing something new in the month of June. We're going to start awarding an award to people who are really good neighbors. We're calling it the Wow Neighbor Award, and it's sponsored by the folks at Wow. You're going to be hearing about them. W-O-W, Wow, Internet, TV, and Phone. And if the person that you nominate gets awarded that week's Good Neighbor Award, they win an ultimate detail package for their car from Bill Jacobs BMW Naperville. I think that's a couple $100 value. That's beside the point, but it's nice to have as a prize. The main thing is we want to start to acknowledge people who are really, wow, great neighbors. So Who do you know that's really doing good for you, your friends, your family, your civic organization, your town? Somebody who is that wow neighbor. People go, wow, what a great guy, what a great gal. We want to know who it is. And it's really simple to nominate somebody. You're hearing this for the first time. Nominate a neighbor you want to be recognized at WGNradio.com/contests. Go to WGNradio.com/contests right now and get going on that. Probably if you get going sooner than later, your friend will be announced on the air, and they'll get a swell prize too. Mary Schmeek wrote the other day in the Chicago Tribune about Meghan Markle's single mom, who was, of course, at the royal wedding. And the headline in Schmeek's column was, "A Chicago woman's poem on Markle's single mom goes viral." Let's face it, Mary Schmeek is the journalist poet laureate of the city of Chicago. So if Mary calls out your poem, you're doing something right. The poem was by Leslie Honoré, and her poem went in part, "For the Dorias of the world who will sit alone at graduations and weddings, at baseball games and school plays, at proms and award ceremonies, who will carry the load of everything, wiping tears and celebrating school projects and first heartbreaks, who stay up all night helping write papers and college apps, the mother who silently creates a universe for her children, launching pads to toss them into the solar system with hands wide open to grab all the stars their hearts desire, the Dorias who always leave space for a father's redemption, knowing it may never come, because they have spent a lifetime patching their children back together, picking up the crushed spirits, rebuilding them with love. This is for the Dorias." And then later she wrote about the children, and for the children who have watched their mothers make a life out of thin air, a dollar out of 15 cents, who have seen ceilings shattered, barrios leapt over, and are covered in black girl magic. They know that there is no limit to their dreams, to success that hard work can't achieve. At the very end, the poem says, "For the Dorias, free-spirited and strong, who know they are never alone, who know there is a matriarchal militia marching with them, I raise my glass to all of us. Salute." The woman that wrote that is sitting right here. Wow. Well done.
Thank you. I'm still in awe of the fact that you read my poem right now.
I read most of it. It's every word of it really terrific. So you were watching the royal wedding, and what were you thinking?
First, I was just, it was a fun moment. It was something I remembered waking up with my mom to watch Princess Diana get married, and then my 18-year-old and I watched Kate get married. And so the girls and I watching Meghan, you know, and just seeing all that representation, being biracial and seeing reflections of me and my children and Meghan. And then the moment that we were all waiting for, our first glimpse of her, and all I could look at was Doria. All I could look at was her and think about how she was feeling in that moment.
How do you think she was feeling? Was she sad? Was she happy? What was she?
I think she was proud. I think a lot of times people look at single parents and automatically assume there's sadness or there's heaviness by the time, you know, you get to adulthood with your children and you've been doing it alone. The heaviness is not always there. It is a double-edged sword. Victories you can take all the glory for, and failures, they're all yours too. There's no one else to toss it off to.
So were you writing this to her? I mean, it is for the Dorias. So what are you telling her besides what I just read?
That we see her, that we know the journey that everyone isn't seeing. We're all, you know, reveling in the beauty and the majesty of the wedding, but all those simple moments, all of the milestones, all of the little things that you do with your children, for your children, to get to these great moments, whether they're on a, you know, global platform or just marching across a stage.
What can prepare you for that, though, right? I mean, most of us are happy with a nice wedding at the VFW hall. And there you are on this global stage. That must have been surreal to her.
Yeah, I cannot imagine the fortitude it took. First, not to just, I'm a crier. So the fact that she wasn't like bawling I was just in awe of that. Like, she got through the whole ceremony without like losing it.
I wonder if she had that moment. She must have, right?
I would assume.
I don't think the queen did.
No. She does not.
I don't think the queen cries. I don't think those tear ducts live, but...
I've watched both seasons of The Crown, and I'm an expert on her now, and I can assure you that she has never.
Even when she was younger. The Crown is one of the great TV series that you can
genius.
Watch. If you have not watched The Crown, watch it, enjoy it. And I'm not a Britla. I'm not a royal file like you are, I guess. You're into this sort of stuff, huh?
I am. I love the pomp and circumstance.
So you write the poem, you post it on your Facebook page. What happens?
It started growing really quickly. And I post lots of my writing on my page. And this one, it was just exploding all over the place.
People were sharing it, liking
it. The comments and the inboxes of other mothers saying, thank you for writing for us, too. That is what blew me away.
They're covered in Black Girl Magic. What is that?
Black Girl Magic, I think, is a hashtag that a lot of Black women have been using for a while that just kind of describes Black women and women of color's ability to find magical moments, beautiful moments, moments of victory, when we know so many of the odds are stacked against us. We know the barriers are so high for us. So we're really celebratory when we are victorious in them.
I get that. What's the father's redemption all about in this poem?
I think it's hard, whether you've gone through divorce or whether there has been abandonment, and not just, you know, for mothers, but for single fathers, too, where you always hope, you want the best for your children. And if there is points of conflict, you want there to be redemption. You want there to be healing. You want your children to be able to have everything you think they deserve, both parents. But deep down, sometimes, you know, it may not happen.
I read that to mean, though, that they're not dumping on the father who's not there.
Not at all. No. I mean, you can't. You can't live in that space at the same time. You can't live in a space of bitterness and a space of love simultaneously.
And how does that serve your children?
Exactly. You can't. It does not. It does them a great disservice.
Okay. So I want to talk a little bit about what you do for a living besides, because this is not what pays the bills.
This is not.
And yet, what a great job you have relative to this
avocation. I
have
a great job.
You'll tell us about that in a minute. Leslie Honoré wrote that poem that maybe you've heard about. Mary Schmeek wrote about it. Now it's got 60,000 likes or whatevers
yes.
on the internet. Leslie Honoré wrote that poem about Meghan Markle's mom. And it is, what's the title of the poem? Is it For the Dorias of the World?
Yes.
For the Dorias of the World. Doria, the first name of Meghan Markle's mother. You're also a poet. Fist and Fire is a collection of your poems. I have that
it
in
is.
Front of me. I'll post more about this on my Facebook page. What do you do for a living?
I'm the executive director of the Clio Center.
What is that?
The Clio Center is a nonprofit on the south side of Chicago. We were founded about 10 years ago. Our founder, Tori Barrett's sister, was murdered due to domestic violence, and he created the Clio Center to help women with domestic violence. In the 10 years since, we've really grown to be a pillar in the community, and what we do now is a lot of youth programming, outreach, mentoring, but our focus is really to help our kids process the trauma that they experience in this world and do it through the arts. So we have performing arts program, music programs.
Really?
Yes.
So kids on the south side, west side?
South side. We're in Washington Park. Yeah. So the south side of Chicago, right there in the heart of it.
You said to me before we went on the air, not every kid is an academic or an athlete. So what means of expression do they have?
Exactly. Some of our kids are artists. And what we've seen in schools is the systematic cutting back of programming that allows our kids to express themselves with agency and autonomy and freedom and the things that we know are so important to all of our developments. We all need something that makes us feel alive, that speaks to our spirit. And that's what art does.
Or enables us to express ourselves. Yeah. And so if you can't do it on the basketball court or in the classroom because you get good grades and that gives you some sort of validation or victory, what else can you do? Well, maybe you could be an artist. Maybe you could paint. Maybe you can draw. Maybe
exactly.
you could be a poet. And yet we just don't even think about that as an option for these kids.
No, we don't. And that's what they need. And they're desperate for it. And when you see their eyes light up, when they're given an opportunity to do it, and it's no rules, you paint what you want to paint, write what you want to write, sing, dance, do what you are inspired to do. Yeah. It's magical.
You know, you mentioned dance. In Donald Glover's new music video, I thought, this is one of the rare times where I felt like dance had its own vocabulary.
Didn't it?
It was a means of saying something, and that I could read it, I could see it, you know?
Yeah. It's the things that sometimes you don't always need language to connect to. It's
so
beautiful.
Do you teach kids poetry, then?
Yes. So we actually have an open mic tonight that is going to be a safe space for our youth. It starts from 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock.
Yeah, what does it sound like? Is it like a slam? Is it is it rap? How does it sound?
It is whatever the kids want it to be.
And so what do they bring to the microphone?
They bring sometimes rap, sometimes they bring dance, sometimes they bring poems, sometimes they bring songs, sometimes they just bring an idea or a problem. It's just a safe space for them to be able to share and to own it, and it to be led by them. And that's where they really need to be, in a space that's theirs.
And they get so many minutes in front of the microphone.
Yeah,
they do the
3 minutes.
Really? And then everybody applauds and cheers.
Yeah.
You know, I've gone to some of the storytelling events in Chicago, like Moth and others lately. And some of the stories are great, and some of them positively are not. And yet everybody cheers and encourages these people. And I think, I don't know what this is, but it's certainly a positive, nurturing experience.
Sometimes it's not cheering the art. Sometimes it's cheering the courage to get in front of your peers and share what you feel is important to you.
LeslieHonore.com is your website.
It is.
L-E-S-L-E, Leslie Honore. Think honor with an E, LeslieHonore.com. I'll post a link to your work on my Facebook page. I'm WGN King John there. Nice going on the poem.
Thank you.
Nice going on the Monday through Friday 8 to 5 thing, too.
Thank you. It's a beautiful thing to be able to merge them both.
If folks wanted to reach out to or find out more about the center.
About the Clio Center, we have a Facebook, Instagram, Twitter page. They can go to Clio Center on any of those three. They can come by if you want to donate time, volunteer. Our doors are always open to people who want to keep loving each other, and that's what Clio stands for.
They probably wouldn't mind it if you wrote them a check. ClioCenter.com, C-L-E-O.
K-L-E-O.
K-L-E-O Center.
Yes, it stands for keep loving each other, and that's what we think it's going to change things, love.
Come back and visit with us again, Leslie.
Anytime.
And keep writing, for goodness sakes. It's 157. This is WGN.
Thinking big thoughts, so you don't have to.
In French.
Here's John Williams.
There we go. It's 209. Mm-mm. We're in the Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue. We appreciate you tuning in on social media.
Lord have mercy.
You can find me at WGN Radio King John. No, wait. WGN King John. Don't even type in radio. Just type in WGN King John on Facebook, Twitter, and on Instagram. And we'll post links to our past guests' poetry and work, and maybe how you can reach out to her. Leslie Honore, who wrote that poem about Doria, the mother of Meghan Markle. While she was on, somebody texted, I have been the Doria for so many years, sitting alone at my children's events and milestones, and I am now the proud mother of a PhD rocket scientist and a lawyer. Yeah, good for you, good for them. What else do we want to do here? We started the show talking about that commemorative coin for the for the North Korea summit. They had a commemorative coin, which incidentally was not the object of Donald Trump's musings. He didn't say, all right, I need a coin to commemorate the thing. He didn't say that. We are told, and I'm willing to believe, that that happens independent of the administration. It probably needs their approval, but the way it was told to me was that this White House gift shop and whoever they contract with, they'll put out commemorative coins and gifts and towels and calendars and stuff. And one of the things they said they would issue was this coin. And evidently they said, okay. But it wasn't Donald Trump going, we got to get a coin. Got to get my face on there. Let's get my hair.
Isn't it funny? How many other things do we have no idea is normal or exists? Like things like this.
I don't know.
I mean, presidential trips, minting coins? Come on.
Evidently they do. Well, you know, but do you have any commemorative coins?
No.
I do. My father-in-law, the late, great Ron Beal, would often give my kids commemorative coins. So there's one honoring the Apollo mission or the landing on the moon or, you know, Jackie Robinson or something like that.
I have one from the zoo where you just, it's got like a monkey on it, I think.
There's a lot of these.
They better be money makers for the government, because if they're not, then I'm going to step in and demand that they give it to the CDC or something, NASA, anything.
Well, no, wait a minute. They issue these coins, yeah, but I mean, people buy them, so they're money-making ventures.
Well, we don't know that. I mean, they could be selling them for...
Well, No way. I'll tell you what, I'll eat your hat if they are selling these below cost.
Well, I'm saying that they... I want to see that they're making money on the minting of these. We'll never know. I guess it should be public, but sure, they might. It might cost them $15 to make one, and they're selling it for $19. But if they're making $50,000 and selling $2,000, that's a problem.
So maybe that's why they threw the price down from $25 to $20 on these coins.
Do they have the date on them?
I don't have the coin in front of me, Steve.
Website says the picture will be up in a couple days.
The website at the White House gift shop has crashed because everybody is trying to buy these coins. Now I sound like the president. Everybody says this coin is awesome. You got to get the coin. Thank you for your order, it says here in an email to me. Your order number, 63683. We've sent a copy of your receipt to your email address. You may also click here to view or print a copy of your receipt. I may have it framed. As soon as your order ships, we'll notify you via email. Connect with us. Sign up for our new newsletter, the White House Gift Shop.
Yeah, did you unclick that? Because when I signed up, that box is already checked of get the newsletters.
Right.
It's you have to unclick.
Yes, I noticed that. Very sneaky of them. So then I said, Elif, go on eBay, because you know I'm going to flip this thing. I paid $19.95 plus shipping. I'm out about $54 for two coins. I'm still pretty amazed that I got it. I never get in on the goods. I think I've really scored here.
You've scored here because the value is going to go up?
Yes. Don't you think so?
No.
I think that there's probably a lot of coins.
It doesn't say how many they issued, how many they produced, but two of them are going to be in my fat wallet.
I feel like you have to keep them in the family for a long time.
We do have a drawer, and we have a bunch of the commemorative coins from my father-in-law. I don't care what they're worth because I think about him, and I think about my boys when they were younger when I see these commemorative coins.
That's sweet. Just think, though, if your grandkids are speaking Korean, then maybe they'll be more valuable. Summit goes badly.
I don't. Well, the summit isn't going to go. And if it does happen, Violette, I hope they don't issue more coins. I want the original set to be the one that you want.
The summit could still very possibly go.
Yeah. Yeah. So here's the. I'm just on eBay right now. Here's the 2004 Lewis and Clark commemorative silver dollar coin.
I'm sorry. I was talking about World Peace, but you go ahead.
$17.50. The World Cup 1994 USA commemorative coin.
That was here in Chicago, right?
Is now valued at $5.50.
I bet they were selling it for $4.95.
I'll bet they weren't.
I bet they were selling it for $15.95.
I think you're more right. Here's the cute silver-plated panda coin that was $4.65, now on eBay selling for $3.81. I'll bet they paid more than $3.81 for that thing. There are some, though, that are worth hundreds of dollars, but not that many. The 1995 S-proof Civil War Battlefield commemorative 90% one-ounce silver coin is now worth $13.99. Yeah, I don't. I think
that's for the silver.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're right.
But I think it's probably a good investment, John, if it gives you excitement and a thrill. And
okay.
That's the whole point of a hobby. Right. And commemorative coins.
I'm not into commemorative coins.
I think you are.
And confidence men. They like to make you feel good. Once you feel good, they're fine.
Maybe that was a bad choice. Do you guys think that somewhere Senator Al Franken is thinking that he quit the Senate too soon?
No.
I said this to my family last night, and they all said, no, why would you say that? And I said, because I think Al Franken's transgressions, compared to everything that followed, seemed relatively mild. Right? And so now you have everybody from Harvey Weinstein to Morgan Freeman, and you go, these guys were serious, or the allegations against them are more serious than pretending to squeeze somebody's boobs while they were sleeping. Al Franken gave up a seat in the United States Senate over more than just that, but nothing so serious as these men are facing. So I just think that's an aside. But boy, the list is sure growing, and it just doesn't seem to stop. And now Morgan Freeman joins the club of people who have been charged. Of people who have been charged.
No, accused.
Accused, right. Pardon me. I mean, even less onerous than that. But he has apologized. And this, you know, and then how many times have we, you know, sort of worked this story where then they are maybe just accused, maybe even charged, but then they issue an apology or a statement, right? And some of them absolutely say nothing happened, and some of them say it was consensual, and some of them say, I did it, I feel terrible, I'm never going to do it again. Louis C.K. got out in front of it, you know, he just threw himself under the bus. There's all manner of that. Morgan Freeman said he apologizes to, quote, anyone who felt uncomfortable or disrespected. I don't think that helps. I don't think he cares.
Did you see the New York Times story with the cast of Jeffrey Tambor, Jessica Walter? What's the show?
Arrested Development.
Arrested Development, right.
They're bringing the show back. There's Tambor and Jason Bateman.
They're all sitting, the cast is sitting there. Jessica Walter, who was abused by him.
She broke into tears as she was describing. Here's the New York Times interviewing the cast of a show, and it just went to the strangest place, right?
Yeah, they brought, because Tambor has admitted he's been kicked off of Parent Transparent.
Right.
And
he's picked up on, well, he was already on this show.
Right, but he apparently was very abusive to Jessica Walter.
And she chooses the moment with the New York Times reporter sitting there to...
I think the Times reporter brought it up.
Okay, but still, this is a conversation you're going to have now,
right,
here?
Are you ever going to work with this guy again? And she gave a whole answer. She said, no one's ever talked to me this way before. It was terrible. Of course I'm going to work with him again. He's a great actor, and this is, you know what I mean? So it was bigger than just one slice of a story. And then Jason Bateman kind of trying to be the peacemaker,
but Jason,
not doing himself any favors.
I know. Bateman should have just let that moment pass, because he and one of the other guys on the show, you're all screaming it at home. Feel free to call right now with the name. So Bateman and the other guy are sitting there, and they're trying to sort of mansplain her emotions. They're sort of, you're right, Steve, sort of putting it in a comfortable box.
A lot of people did this, and
yes,
we all know in
yes,
Hollywood
exactly.
There are.
So after she accuses Tambor of that, and Tambor is dealing with this anyway, who's apologizing on Sunday? It's Jason Bateman. Dude, get out of the way. That's a train. You do not need to step in front of it. And he did. So that's where that story is. Here's an interesting part of the Morgan Freeman story. This is from SAG-AFTRA, who gave him the Lifetime Achievement Award. Given Mr. Freeman recently receiving one of our union's most prestigious honors, recognizing his body of work, we are therefore reviewing what corrective actions may be warranted at this time. So they're loading up we're going to take the Lifetime Achievement Award away. Steve, should they take the Lifetime Achievement Award away from Morgan Freeman?
And give it to Balbo?
And give it to General Ulysses S. Grant.
I mean,
Stonewall Jackson.
If we're
right
going to start going through this, and every guy who is an ass, take away the awards they've received.
Ass may be an understatement.
Well,
that's history,
what I wonder, though.
In history, you know, and I don't mean just by sexual harassment. Clearly, this guy shouldn't be rewarded and all of that. But once you start reviewing, you know, it's a troublesome path, I think, for everyone.
Right. Everyone can put their own asterisk next to
asterisk, whatever.
Asterisk,
yeah, the word.
Whatever. You knew what I meant.
No, I meant because of the word I used before. But.
Oh.
You know what? This stupid TV just came on next to me. Listen to this. I got CLTV and I can't turn it off. So I guess that's time for a commercial break, eh? All right. Thank you, Elif. God bless you. She's talented, she's intelligent, and she's light on her feet.
And she knows how to work a remote.
I'm like, you know, when I was a kid, you were able to just say, hey, Mary, turn off the damn TV. And they'd go up and there was a knob. They still have buttons and knobs on TV, but they are the size of a pencil point. And they've layered them right into the smooth surface of the TV's face. So you can't even find that button. I'm like, what is the point of that button? Dan Phillips here from Peoria. Dan's a great guy. I knew him years ago. Dan, thank you for still listening. I'd like to still count you as a friend, but I haven't seen you in so long. I hope you're doing well. He said, make sure that you look on eBay, add completed sales or sold items, not asking price. I can ask $1 million. It doesn't make it worth $1 million. Look at the sales that have closed and are sold with multiple bids to get an actual idea of the value of those coins. Well, people are buying the coin right now, retail, 1995. I have not seen any of these commemorative coins of which I am an owner. I have not seen them on the secondary market yet. But you will see at least one of them as soon as I get my hands on it. Fly to the front of the line at LitFest on June 9th and June 10th with a Fest Pass. Get yours before they're gone at printersrowlitfest.org/festpass. The key to a good barbecue is preparation. You can never have too much ice. No one likes a warm beer. Invest in one of those special candles to keep the mosquitoes away. With the steaks, thicker is always better. The last step before the big barbecue, don't forget to call DeckTech. These are all helpful hints. DeckTech cleans, seals, and protects your deck, restoring it to its natural beauty. In fact, DeckTech has been helping Chicagoans like me enjoy the outdoors for over 25 years. For free estimates, call 1-800-956-DECK or visit restoreyourdeck.com. And there's this email or text message. So, hey, John, Al Franken's incident was minor in your eyes, so he should be excused? What if your wife was in that photo? I didn't say he should be excused, and I don't know how I'd feel if my wife was in that photo. All I'm saying is, I'll bet that if Al Franken were today exposed for having taken that picture, remember he was pretending to squeeze the breasts of that journalist, was it a journalist, a TV reporter?
She was
reporter?
A radio traffic reporter, something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
But here's what you're forgetting, John. It's politics. It's all politics. The Democrats have reacted very differently from a lot of others, not just party, but industry in this, and that they go quickly. So, you know, the party left him pretty quickly. It wasn't even much of his decision. There were other, Kirsten Gillibrand and others were standing up, you know, saying something had to happen. So they, you know, for their political base and all of that, it's a much thinner ice for them.
Really? Why are Democrats less tolerant of this than Republicans? Republicans are the family values people.
Well, I don't know what the answer to that question is. I'm just telling you, if you look at the parties of the accused, the Democrats leave much more quickly.
Yeah. Maybe it's because the president has just found himself in an unfortunate light, and so Republicans are not going to start to even have that conversation if they can avoid it. I don't know. I'm just thinking out loud here. But, you know, Steve, I was just thinking of the timeline, that if, considering all that's happened since Al Franken was accused, you know.
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
It wouldn't it's be. Been, it's not so monumental. It's like, get in line, buddy. Morgan, for everybody we've known and loved over the years. Elif printed out the list, 240 names. I was going to read them on the air. Turns out we don't have enough time. 240 names on the quote-unquote list of men accused or charged or admitted that they acted inappropriately or criminally since Harvey Weinstein. 240. Would you like me to read some of the names?
Sure. Well, I mean, they're big names.
Yeah, I know. I mean, it's kind of, in a way, I had this one New York Times list, and then I started to write the names in it. Now it's just so full I can hardly even read it. Dustin Hoffman, Morgan Freeman, Al Franken, Trent Franks, Charlie Rose, Glenn Thrush, Garrison Keillor, for crying out loud. Garrison Keillor. None of this is new, right? I mean, we've had this conversation before, but it's just pretty amazing.
Maybe in the Oscars next year, they should do, instead of in memoriam, just list the people accused.
No,
some of them have slipped our minds. You know,
totally.
Oh, I forgot that guy.
Kevin Spacey, Jeremy Piven, Andy Dick, James Toback, Nelly, Ben Affleck, Oliver Stone, Roman, and then they throw in Roman Polanski, which I think is not fair. Maybe it is fair. I don't know if all of these people belong on the same list or not. Steve Wynn, they've actually got him in categories. Would you like men who treat women inappropriately in the business and technology sector? I have a list for you.
But how many of these people are just creepy?
I think that's a good question. I think putting all of these in the same list, Roman Polanski and all these other people, I don't know. I think that's got to be some apples and some oranges there. I think that's a fair question. It's 2:29. Enough of that. Let's pause. Steve's going to update you on the news. We've got some fun things to do this weekend. We always give you the list after the 2:30 Friday news. Are you afraid of me? Thank you, Steve. And just to clarify, I don't hate 93 degrees, but the woman I love does, so it really impacts my life.
Yeah, so you should learn to hate it.
Might as well. It's 238 on WGN. This is John Williams. Elif Garris, what are we listening to here?
This is Chaos Chaos. They'll be playing at Chuba's tonight at 7. Tickets start at $12 at lh-st.com, and it's an 18-plus show.
We like to, on Fridays, give you a few ideas about things we're interested in doing this weekend. Maybe you'd like to do them, too. What else have you got as a recommendation, Violetta?
Navy Pier fireworks shows are starting. That is tomorrow, May 26th, and they're going to be every Wednesday and Saturday after sundown through Labor Day. So if you don't get it tomorrow, you have all summer.
We're going to the Randolph Street Market tomorrow. If you've not been into the city of Chicago on Randolph Street for that market, I highly recommend it. Costs you $10 to get in, but when you get in, you hear great live jazz music. They perform it outside, and they've got great food, and you can buy soda and coffee, and you can buy beer, and the stuff that you have to pick from, I think, is really fun. I think it's a nice $10 investment for an hour or two, the Randolph Street Market on Randolph Street in Chicago tomorrow. What have you got?
MB Bike the Drive is this Sunday. Tickets start at $17 on bikethedrive.org, and you can start riding as early as 5:30 a.m.
Yeah, Bike the Drive this weekend. We gave
you
away.
You can at 5:30. But the latest you can jump on is 7:30.
Better point, perhaps. All right, go ahead, Violetta. What you got?
Well, there's the Belmont Sheffield Music Fest. That's the 35th annual going on at Belmont and Sheffield. It's free to the public, and there's food, drinks, live music. It sounds like a great way to spend your Saturday.
V, are you going to do the Memorial Day Parade, or should I do that one?
It's all you.
Memorial Day Parade is free. It starts at State and Lake tomorrow at noon. The Memorial Day Parade in Chicago is at noon. That's tomorrow. What else you got there, Elif?
Sen Morimoto is playing The Empty Bottle tomorrow at 8:30. Tickets start at $8 at EmptyBottle.com, and it's a 21-plus show.
Violetta, go.
The Butterfly in Bloom is opening up at the Botanic Gardens. Sounds like a great event, and that's kicking off tomorrow. Tomorrow.
We like to mention things that you can go do, but I'll just give you a couple of things you can probably watch on TV. The Indy 500 is Sunday at 11:19 a.m. on Channel 7. That's Sunday, Indy 500, just after 11 a.m. And the Cubs are in town. The White Sox are not this weekend. They take on the Giants tomorrow and Sunday. And then Monday, Memorial Day, they play against the Pirates at, that's at 12:35 at PNC Park. So you want to catch the Giants and the Cubs tomorrow or Sunday. What have you got?
And Style of Sound is tonight, starting at 10 at Disco on Hubbard Street.
One more from you, Violetta.
Well, we also have the Chicago Dogs versus Kansas City T-Bones. That's tonight, starting at 7. And in Rosemont, tickets are starting at just $9. And all the beaches are opening, and all the pools. So it's going to be a fun Memorial Day.
Glad you mentioned the Chicago Dogs. That's a new minor league baseball team. But I'm all for those guys.
Doesn't it kind of make you want a hot dog, though? Every time I say it, I'm like, oh, what would I put on it? Mustard, relish.
It's a baseball game. It's not a hot dog.
Yeah, but you can have a hot dog there, so it's perfect.
And don't they have that? They have good promotions like that. Like they have a bottomless popcorn and soda for $3. And they probably got good deals on wieners there, too.
I mean, tickets are starting at $9. Why not catch a game in this beautiful weather?
And support those young men that are trying to make their way in the world of baseball. So hats off to y'all. There's a few suggestions from us for you for the weekend. Okay, it's 2:42. Let's pause here. And while we're playing a commercial, I want you to call or text 312-981-7200. Before Ro and Anna start their Friday show, we do something called The Bright Side. This is where you tell us something good in your world. It can be big. It can be small. It can be teeny. If it's making you happy or smile, we want to hear it. The Bright Side is next. Little button I have to push. Here we go.
Some things in life are bad. They can really make you mad.
Sponsored by the Joint Relief Institute.
Things just make
the Bright
you
Side is your chance to share some good news.
When you're chewing on life's gristle, grumble.
Here we go.
Give a whistle.
Get ready to whistle.
And this'll help things turn out for the best.
Sing it home now.
And
always
look on the bright side of life.
All right, let's start with the ladies. Violetta Podromedic, what's your bright side?
Well, I broke my front bike wheel, but then I fixed it, and I'm going to be riding in the MB Bike the Drive.
If life seems jolly rotten.
See, Bertrand, why are you smiling today, my friend?
Because for a brief time, all four Bertrands are under one roof, and we're going to enjoy it this weekend.
How about you, Kevin, over in Sportsland?
I got a weekend full of grilling, barbecue, golf, baseball. It's going to be a fun weekend.
If you said name three things that Kevin's going to do, I would have known two of them right away.
Eating and golf?
Food and golf. I knew it would have been on the list. And then wild card baseball. Who knew? How about you, Elif?
MB Bike the Drive. Sunday.
You're going to do it too, huh?
Mm-hmm.
What time are you going? 5:30?
I think 6:15.
Holy moly.
Yeah.
Sneak me on at 9. Forget
about your seat. Give the order. Our deck has finally been built, sanded, painted, and stained, and we're going to load it up, put the grill back out there, replant the herb garden, and by that I mean Brenda, replant the herb garden. We're looking forward to this weekend. But that's just us. How about, is that GD on line one? You're on WGN. What's your bright side, Gene? You're on the air.
Hi, John. My husband and I drove up to Fremont, Wisconsin this afternoon. We're on the Wolf River fishing for white bass. It's beautiful out, and we're listening to you.
When you're feeling in the dumps.
From Gene, we're going to. Thank you, Gene.
Just push
your Tim, you're on WGN.
Hi, John. My bright side is that on Sunday, we are leaving for a bucket list trip of a safari.
No kidding. A real safari? In Africa?
Yes, South Africa.
Wow. Hokey smokes. How long are you going to be down there?
We'll be there for a week, and then we have 2 weeks in an island.
Holy cow. Kim, you've got to call us back when you get back and give us the highlights. We'd love to hear more.
Oh, I will definitely do that.
And listen, if somebody can't make it and you're just looking for somebody to fill a seat. Thank you, Kim. Let's go to Vicky. You're on WGN. Why are you smiling today, Vicky? You're on the air. Vicky's gone. Our phone lines just blew up. That's going to kill this bit if the phone lines don't work.
You want some text?
Oh, that's right. Thank goodness. Violetta, read some text. Go.
708, I'm a public school teacher that just finished her last day and celebrating by getting a new tattoo. Not expected. 219, after 4 weeks, our new garage door is finally being installed.
Nice.
603, celebrating 15 years of marriage, Nick in Manuka.
One more?
We, 708, I'm 55 and have a 30-year-old girlfriend.
Always look on the bright side of life. All right, let's see if the phones are working now. Hey, Rick, you're on WGN. What's your bright side, Rick?
John, yesterday I was in Boston for my son's graduation from Harvard Medical School.
Holy cow. Wow. Wow. Rick, how good does that feel,
huh? I'll be smiling for a while.
Thank you, Rick. Congrats to you both. Congrats to you both. Let's go to Barb. You're on WGN. Why are you smiling, Barb? Hey, Barb.
My triplet grandson made it through preschool today. Yay!
That seems like a task.
I'll tell you who's really happy about that is the triplet's mom. Vicky on line 5. Hey, Vicky, give us some good news. Why are you smiling today, Vicky?
Because I finally was able to get out and plant colorful flowers. My perennials have come in, but they're all green. But now I've got yellow and pink and purple and all kinds of colors.
Brenda and I were at Gethsemane yesterday, and we were at it again today. Isn't that fun?
It is. It's the best. Always look on
the bright side of life. I have a good text.
Okay, go.
847, after 20 years of making school lunches, I just served my last one.
Nice. Nice. Hey, Carl, you're on the air. Why are you smiling, Carl?
Hey, John, how you doing?
Good.
Hey, John, I don't know if you saw Hamilton. I just saw it recently for the first time.
Yeah?
Really enjoyed it. Thought it was really good. And that's it.
I'm glad you did. I'm glad you did. It's 2:52. From there, let's go to Carolyn on line 4. Carolyn, what's your bright side? You're on the air.
One of my daughters just turned 4 months, and she also just learned how to split from her back to her tummy with holding her head up.
That's a little bit of a milestone there, isn't it?
It is. It is when you're 4 months.
Happy day. Congrats to you all.
Thank you.
Got another one to read there, Violetta?
630, my bright side, I decided to win the lottery this weekend, so wish me luck. 815, no more chemo for my sister.
Hooray.
And it's Friday from 630, and in an hour, I'm cutting my grass and having a beer.
That's the thing.
pain. Always look on the bright side of life.
All right, let's go to line three. That's John. You're on WGN. Why are you smiling, John?
Hey, John. My son and his high school friend all graduated from college and are on their way to Europe for a 15-day backpacking trip.
Oh, how much fun. A buddy of mine did that after he graduated from college. If I could go back and do it over, I'd still be broke. I don't know how I would finance that, but I'd say go, go, go. What a great time, huh, John?
Absolutely. I'm really excited for him.
Yeah, I can imagine. I think we got another Bike the Driver. Hey, Don, you're on the air. What's your bright side?
Well, King John, I've got two. One, I'm doing Bike the Drive because I won tickets from some guy named John Williams.
Woo-hoo!
Who seems like a decent enough dude. And the other one is this afternoon, my wife and I are selling poppies for the American Legion.
You know, John Cass wrote about that a little bit today in the Chicago Tribune, and I hadn't mentioned that. Good for you. Attaboy, Donnie. Have a nice time on Sunday.
Thanks, John. I'll be wearing a poppy.
Be silly chumps. Just purse your lips and whistle. That's the
thing. Hey, Lana, you're on WGN. What's your bright side?
Hey, Dad. I am so happy. I love my job. I have the most fabulous boss in the world. And tomorrow, my family and I are leaving for Washington, D.C. for a week's vacation.
Oh, yeah. I love you. Have you ever vacationed in D.C.?
Oh, my daughter did a semester internship there last year, so we just did a day here and there. So this is going to be a full week of everything. It's going to be awesome.
Do the bus tour, and if you can, the nighttime bus tour. That's really terrific.
Definitely. Have a great weekend.
All right, let's wrap this up there, Violetta Podromedic. Give me one more bright side. What are you looking at?
815. I'm happy to have my 40 hours of overtime this week. And, John, you made me smile when you hit the number in Manukam.
Always look on the lights.
Yep, it's not easy, but if you'd learn triangulation, you can correctly guess temperatures in far-flung areas.
Life seems jolly.
I was able to correctly guess the temperature in Manuka, Illinois. Kathy, you're my last call today. You're on WGN. What's your bright side?
Well, my baby nephew, Andrew Marvin, has his last chemotherapy dose on Monday.
We live in amazing times, don't we?
Yes, we do.
Is the prognosis good? What are you all hearing over there, Kathy?
Great. He's got an unbelievable medical crew out here in DuPage County. And, it's been a long 2.5 years, though.
Last chemo. Our best to you all. We're praying for you, and have a great weekend.
Thanks.
All right, this is what we do on Fridays. We call it the bright side. You call in, give us some good news, and we look on the bright side.
Before it gets dark.
Before it gets dark? What do you mean before it gets dark?
I'm just kidding with Ro.
Okay, I know. Yeah, let that serve as an antidote to what comes next. I hope you didn't hear Violetta say after we did the bright side, and now here comes the dark part, the dark side.
Wait, really, John? You're going to do this to me? Well, I didn't say that.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And he wasn't listening.
Yeah, I was in the, you know, they don't have speakers in our green room.
I hate that.
Well, everything's starting to go slowly but surely.
Yeah, well, I've never had them. Which, you know, there are times I've had guests over my career that I don't want them to hear the show.
Sometimes it's a blessing.
Yeah, before they come in, because they, you know, they may have a conception of something before they, you know, walk in that might not be good. I didn't. I was doing one arm push ups in there. That's what I do to prep yeah. myself for the show.
Sometimes, you know, I really am glad we don't
101?
have 102. Where I'm really glad sometimes we don't have speakers is afterwards, because somebody will come in and we'll have a conversation. Maybe it goes well, maybe it doesn't. They walk out, and then the commentary really begins.
You mean after John Lovitz leaves? You don't want him to hear it in the hallway and the way
the door
out.
Opens right yeah. back up. I heard that.
So I get it. I'm with you on that. Anyway, so it's going to be a very fun show. Michael Steele makes his triumphant return to this program. He's been gone for a month. He had a project overseas.
Nice.
You know, My Brand is Chaos, or whatever the name of his company is. And so he's going to be here. And then Susie Sunshine's going to be here to tell us about... This is interesting. There is a theory that the increase in gasoline offsets the tax break that we got.
My wife was telling me about that. She said all the money some of those folks are getting, it's gone. Or
well,
a lot of it.
Well, let's see. Susie Sunshine will be here to tell us the truth about that, because we count on her for truth, not for spin. And then Tom Skilling is going to be here. We're going to talk about his day in the sun yesterday, which almost killed him. And then Mr. Roper is going to be with us today. And a top five, you won't believe it's all coming your way.
Have a great weekend, Ro. Nice to see
you. Thank you. You have a great weekend as well. Thank you, John.